Hello everyone, I'm Mark, the chief writer here at Meltopia, and I just wanted to remind you the Sleep-Wake Cycle is but one of a series of interconnected horror podcasts within the wide and weird world of Meltopia. For Easter eggs, crossover events, and additional lore, please check out our other series, The Shepherd of Wolves, Red Mother, Grimland, and The Damnation Machine. And be sure to check out our free content on our Patreon page for additional lore and stories. For even more Meltopia content, consider becoming a patron. Starting for as little as $2 a month, benefits range from additional art, update videos, early episode access, our mini-podcast series, October's Children, both written and full audio pieces, such as The Lost Library, Tales of Meltopia, and The Weird Book. You can also gain access to our found footage show, the Weird Tape series, and even our Patreon-exclusive, fully produced audio series, Devil's Clay. So, with all that said, I will leave you to the darkness.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Rusty Quill presents.
Let's go live to the city of Cheerless, West Virginia, where ANN's news correspondent, Cassandra Dietz, is at the scene of a mass killing that local officials are calling mind-bogglingly horrific. Cassandra, what can you tell us so far?
This is the most challenging situation for any journalist, Greg. Being present at a location where senseless mass bloodshed has occurred. Behind me, law enforcement and emergency responders are working tirelessly to pick up the pieces after a violent episode that has resulted in at least 17 dead and twice as many injured. City officials have told UNN that at approximately 9 p.m. last night, a group of unknown persons launched a grisly attack on downtown Cheerless. The attackers used several weapons during their assault, ranging from blades to blunt weapons, leaving a bloody trail of devastation stretching from the town square to Gemini Avenue, more than a block away. I'm here with eyewitness Manny Pendleton, a local pawn shop owner who claims to have witnessed some of the carnage. Manny, can you tell us what you saw?
I reckon so. At first I heard what sounded like a whole lot of people crying. I mean really crying, like wailing, you know? And it come from the direction of the old weeping huts, back behind the paper mill there. Next thing I know, I hear glass breaking from across the street. So I turn around and I see the lights over to Gary's Diner flickering and people screaming their lungs out. Everyone nearby started running over to see what was going on, and next thing I know, they start screaming too. But underneath it all, I could still hear that there crying sound. Anyways, once all that there happened, I run out back and grab my double-aught. By the time I got back, whatever killed all them there people was gone. But I could still see a huge blood trail heading out into the dead section, where all them there abandoned buildings is.
So far, police have surrounded the so-called dead section as they await reinforcements from the neighboring county of Fredericks.
I didn't need the information for the assignment, but for the narrative, the craftsmanship behind its assembly. The art of storytelling has become the singular fascinating aspect of my profession. Everything else just blurs together. The hunt, the fight, the kill. When I was a child, my father read to me all sorts of heroic tales. The Arthurian sort was my favorite by far. Most of those stories ended in predictable fashion. A fight. There was never much to it, just a collision of swords and shields. It was the least interesting part of the story, the resolution. The beginning was where the magic lived. I found myself in an area known as the Dead Section, a name that toyed with my imagination. Shortly after the darkness, the place was under the jurisdiction of a faction called the Sorrowers. They held the belief that they could channel the melancholy of the Great Darkness, finding its essence within their tears. They were urged to concentrate upon their sorrow until tears inevitably flowed, leading them to the Weeping Huts, modest makeshift shelters designed for harvesting tears. Once the containers brimmed, their contents were poured into an expansive basin resembling a sensory deprivation tank. Within the tank, what was called the Chamber of Sorrows, the cult's leader would float, entranced in a meditative stupor, aided by an assortment of herbal blends. Whatever might have come from this novel enterprise will never be known. As it turns out, sadness is not meant to be an enduring state of mind. Eventually, the cult revolted against their leader, confining her to the Chamber of Sorrows, where she drowned in their shared liquid anguish. Now, local legends spoke of her ghost, a sobbing creature known as the Weeper. An exceptional story all around, its conclusion nearly equal to its inception. Currently, the former haunt of the Sorrowers remains uninhabited. The dreadful practices of sowing sorrow still too raw to be erased from memory. The story was in no need of a sequel, yet there I was. The creature I hunted was an echo of the Sorrowers' deeds, a wisp of the dim calling it up from the loam, giving it new, if perverted, life. The Methuselah group has been sending me after them quite a bit lately. Gloom bodies, they call them. Creatures born from intense, often dramatic concentrations of collective human emotion. The Weeper had just taken refuge in a derelict office building, a structure just shy of being a mid-rise. A rusted truck blocked the door, but it came away easily enough. I was inside within moments. There was no way to predict the creature's capabilities. Its strange features might have given it some control over sadness, although I was well acquainted with sorrow. I chose to ignore the risks and casually explored the ruins. Discovering a blood trail leading up a long flight of stairs, I followed them. True to form, alongside the red stains dripped and oozed small puddles of dirt-flecked tears. It wasn't long before I located the source of the blood. Tucked away in a small room on the sixth floor, I found the body of a young man, maybe 20 or so. His face was badly gored, his eyes missing. No doubt the monster had fed upon his tears, and in its final effort to drink every last drop, had torn the man's eyes free of their sockets. The Weeper might have been calling to me, sensing my search for it, trying to guide me into a trap. Or it was simply what it was, an embodiment of sorrow, and did only what was in its nature to do. I felt like it was lamenting its own death, whether it realized it or not. There used to be some ritual to my killing, a pattern born from faith I'd been forced into. My faith, however, is long dead, which is laughably ironic, given that I derive from divine stock. Most lose their conviction from a lack of proof, but mine perished of both knowledge and boredom. I hear you, creature, but I'm afraid there's no room for you in this world. You should permit me to expedite your travel into the next. Perhaps there you might find better accommodation. There, there, beast. I can make it quick, if you allow me. I've learned a million ways to kill a million monsters. So despite whatever baffling form your unwanted life has assumed, you may trust that I can end it quickly, painlessly. Are these tears all this rain? Speak. Tell me your story. I might be convinced to let you linger on this side of death, should your tale be interesting enough. It would go so much better for you if you did. You have no idea how many of your kind I've slain. Whatever you've planned, whatever trap you think will prevail, it won't. It will only prolong your suffering. Just sound and fury, creature. Sound and fury. I'm getting closer, creature of sorrow. It shouldn't be long now. I could feel the air thicken as I ascended the structure, a humidity made from forgotten tears. When a teardrop condensed from the developing haze and fell down from above, it stung my skin. The attack was two-pronged. The first was merely physical, but the next was psychological. Trauma encoded every drop that melted from the sweating air. While I could appreciate the psychic sorrow trying to assail me, defilum physiology was beyond the touch of mere human suffering, no matter how concentrated. Before I took my next step, a corroded pipe along the ceiling burst. water, tears cascaded down, flooding the hallway. The creativity of your kind never ceases to amuse me. But amusement is the most you can hope to achieve. From the miniature sea of salty tears, a monstrosity slowly took shape. It started out as a cluster of funeral-attired men, women, and children, their pale bodies in black clothing slowly melting together. All of them screaming, their sadness. By the time they'd completed their grotesque merger, a tall creature, feminine overall, stood before me. It wore all black, a funeral veil hiding its face. Only its hands were visible, ghastly white and riddled with bulging blue veins. Ah, funeral sadness is certainly a potent brand, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to return you to the liquid you came from. Lifting my mace, the falling sky, I met the monster as it lunged. As promised, my weapon caused it to reliquefy, its body splattering across the walls and ceiling. But the Weeper was not finished. The storm of sorrow and stinging tears tore through the windows and walls, lashing me with its furious sadness. To its credit, I was actually forced back a step. I have already told you, creature, you cannot win. And you are beginning to bore me. Do you hear me? Answer me, monster. I said, answer me! I am neither patient nor brash creature, but I do bore rather easily. So if you have no more tricks to amuse me, we really should get on with things.
I just wanted to tell them goodbye. I'm sorry. I love you. Come back. It's not okay. I'm hurt.
What a wretched thing you are. Why not come to me then? Let me put you from your misery.
I'm afraid. Oh, Dad, I don't want to go. To die.
These creatures were prone to exhibiting their nature rather than their true thoughts, should they have any. Their behavior was excessively simplistic, elemental. Consequently, destroying them had become an equally rote process. My voice had nearly hollowed the upper portion of the building, so there were precious few places for the Weeper to hide. The hunt was rapidly coming to a close. Only the resolution was left, the brute contest. The least interesting part. Whenever I use my fire, the din of forgotten violence comes to mind. Wars fought before space was black and fire consumed. Soaring upward on burning wings, I searched out the Weeper. Once I burst through the top of the building, I saw the whirlpool of tears. It splashed and gurgled from the corner of the roof. Thick rivulets of dirty water snaking over the edge, twisting mindfully down the building. Before I could tend to it, the sky stole my attention. The storm had returned, bearing clouds impressed with sorrowful faces, their billowing black eyes sobbing sheets of stinging rain, their croaking wails throwing lightning from their reeling throats. It would be useless to confront the storm, so I turned back to the whirlpool, where a solitary figure was rising from its center like a crooked black finger. The weeper's voice came from the air, somewhere between her figure and the storm.
You think you're so strong, but I am inside you too. Rain within and rain without. I am the long, dark shadow of happiness, and I've blackened your heart on more than one occasion. Aegis, the longing for the ancient battles you never fought, coupled with your grief over the trivial and senseless violence left in their wake. There is no destroying me, fool. I can only be accepted.
I reckoned my nature long ago, and my sadness is mine alone. Besides, this isn't my story, Weeper. It's yours. And I'm still left wondering, why sorrow? Out of all the faces of the great darkness, what struck you about sadness that you sought it out above all else? For a moment, the shrieking lightning at my back relented, and the storm grew quiet, even pensive.
Because it is a doorway back to the rawest memory, the deepest regret. It could only be truly conjured from the shrieking void of the darkness left behind.
Regret? We didn't cause the darkness. We have nothing to regret.
You are a blind fool. The ultimate sadness lies not in what the darkness was, or even where it went, but in the fact that it left us behind. It revealed our secret selves and then snatched them away. There is no greater loss, no deeper sorrow than the loss of the soul. Only through grief and sadness can we, for a fleeting moment, remember the wonders that were lost to us.
It was her greatest attack yet, but it failed all the same. You might be right, but who can really say? Certainly not you or me. But I do appreciate you filling in the gaps for me, completing your story. It's a shame there's nothing more to say. My sadness truly resides on the last page of the book. That's where it lives. The final page merely heralds boredom. And nothing foretells that boredom quite like the final battle. So, shall we get on with it? A peal of screeching lightning coursed down my spine, singeing and saddening me. But both wounds were superficial. Already my body was changing, my face becoming more bestial, leonine, fire filling my mane. I actually felt that. Now it is time for you to fail this! My mace blazed with savage, unearthly fire. Like a comet, it descended upon the Weeper in a whirlpool of stolen tears. The effect of my blow was always the same. The fire. The thunder. And when the smoke cleared, most of the upper floors of the building had disappeared, along with the Weeper. As the thunder settled and the rain abated, a gentle breeze swept through, echoing the storm of sorrow now dissipating above me. In its wake, a void of purpose began to expand in my mind, marking the closure of my most recent quest. This is Agent 77.
Hey there, big guy. It's your old pal, Murtaugh.
What do you want?
What? No, hello? How are you?
I've never enjoyed your company. Get on with it.
At least you're honest. Look, a job's come up and I thought of you.
Then you should take it up with the Methuselah Group.
How do you think I was able to reach you, huh? They said after your next job you were floating, and that it was up to you whether you wanted to take me up on my offer.
Make your pitch.
Twins. A guy and a girl. Ex-operatives. They took off, and now I want them taken out.
Names?
Rosemary and Isaiah Stroud. They're juiced and dangerous.
I've never heard of them. They hardly pique my interest. I think I'll pass.
Oh, wait. You probably don't know the fella by his real name, but maybe you'd recognize him by his professional tag, the Insomniac. Ring any bells for you?
Send the file.
The Sleep-Wake Cycle is a Maltopia production. Today's episode was written by Mark Anzalone and performed by Steven Zivick, Aubrey Akers, and Mark Anzalone. And sound production and editing was performed by Steven Anzalone. The episode was edited by Walker Kornfeld. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Maltopia. If you want unique art and animations of Maltopia's stories, visit our YouTube page or click on the link in the show notes. And for more exclusive content such as additional lore, stories, and art, be sure to check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Maltopia.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.